and your valuation for this experience of worship and community. Very warm welcome to any guests or visitors who are here for the first time. I'd love the privilege of meeting you after the service. Also, we have one of our team members at our welcome table on the other side of the bridge that you came in, and they are there after the service to answer any questions you may have about our church. A couple announcements to draw your attention to. All of these are in the bulletin and online to review at another time. But we're hosting our first one-day Wednesday centering prayer retreat next week Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 5:30. And it's $20. That includes a contemplative lunch at noon. Please call the church office or online to register for that. Also, just note for those attending the Friday yoga, this Friday is the last Friday yoga, and then we'll shift in February to Monday evenings at 6. Contemplative response team is resuming its curriculum and teaching this year. And I'll just read a brief excerpt about the contemplative response team. This team offers an opportunity to come together in contemplative service to others through prayer, spiritual companioning, and compassionate hospitality. If you are a CCH member with an established centering prayer practice of at least 2 years, please consider attending. And you can read more about that in the bulletin or call the church office. Special opportunity. Every year we offer a class called Lessons in Truth, which is based upon Emily Cady's classic book, Lessons in Truth. This class is a requirement, one of the 4 classes required to become a member in this community. And this year's class will be taught by Tim Cook. And he will be teaching Lessons in Truth starting on Wednesday, February 12th, for 6 Wednesdays at 7:30, and the class will conclude at 9. Next Sunday is Caritas Donation Sunday, and that happens actually every first Sunday of the month. And then just as a save the date for your calendars, we're having the great blessing of welcoming Cyprian Consiglio, who is the prior of New Camaldoli Hermitage in Big Sur, California, and an author of several books that have been a blessing to us on our journey. But he's a musician, a contemplative musician, and so we're hosting what I'm calling Music from the Monastery, a contemplative concert, on Saturday, March 21st. That's the United Day in Prayer Day at 7 o'clock, and tickets will be $10 per person. So look for further information and ticket sales, but that will be a significant blessing that he will infuse to us his particular charism and leadership from that monastery and the beauty of his music. That's all the announcements I have. And let's just take a moment in the silence. Why are you here? Do you know? Do you know what you wish for today from this service? In a world that is marked by conflict and disease and fear, and also great joy and love and opportunity, let us, through this service, send love and consciousness to our brothers and sisters in the human community. Amen.
Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come.
Oh.
Please stand and join us in singing the gospel in one word.
Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Mother God, Creator of the heavens and the earth and giver of this and every moment, we ask that our heart coherence would come into your great heart of love for ourselves, for our neighbor, for our beloved ones, for our enemies, for this earth, for all its leaders and difficulties, for our cosmos. May our hearts come into coherence with your great heartbeat of love, just a little deeper, just a little more. And in so doing, we ask that the power of your energetic spirit would heal each of us, comfort each of us, infuse us with more wisdom, more love, more kindness, more peace, more patience, more goodness, and all the qualities of radiant saints in the light. We ask this not for our glory, but for your delight and our joy, in your most holy threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the holy living Trinity. Amen. Today is a significant day in the life of our community, intentions and aims. It's the day that we dedicate all the cards that represent your personal intention to the annual aim and theme for this year, and your expression of devotion to God in various ways, the different ways in which many of us have said, yes, I am committing to this way, this path, this year. Some of us, about 100, have said yes to the call to become oblates, which is an extraordinary invitation of being monks in the world in a regular community of people who don't live in a monastery but who wish to give their lives more deeply to God. And that's an annual renewable aim. In other words, if you don't do it this year, you might discern you do it next year. And if you did do it this year, you might not do it next year. It's an annual commitment. And many of us have signed up, over 400, for the Journey School and the email curriculum. It's extraordinary flourishing of the Spirit of God, drawing people to a path that wishes to help us all grow deeper in God's love. So our first abbess of the Journey School is Mary Ann Best, and I'm just going to invite her forward now. And she and I are both going to offer a gesture of dedication of these prayers in a simple way. We're each going to pray over the cards. All the cards that have been handed in so far are in this basket. They were taken from the wooden box. And for those of you who wish to fill in a card, yours will be dedicated later this week as you drop them off at the church office. But Marianne, as our abbess, you represent a center for the school. It's an experiment that we're discovering, and I'm so grateful for your leadership in this community.
Dear God, we dedicate and consecrate these sacred intentions. These intentions that came from love and are going to a higher love. And a little bit later, when the elements of bread and wine are offered to for your glory and for our joy, we also offer our bodies and our blood to be transformed to and as Christ. All honor and glory are yours, O God. We ask this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And may the love of God and the grace of God, Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with each of us to fulfill these aims and intentions we have made, to encourage each of us when we feel weary and not good enough, and to remind us of our wish. We dedicate all of this to your glory and our joy. Amen.
Amen. So be it.
So be it. Thank you.
Please join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from Colossians chapter 3. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and remind one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through Christ. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Every time I sit in this chair, I feel such gratitude for the privilege of being in a community of spiritual friends who wish for similar things. And to be a part of a community like this that wishes to grow deeper is such a gift to my personal being and to my pastor's heart. I love that we wish to grow deeper. So today we're going to focus on the last word of our annual aim. Each Sunday this new year, we've talked about each of the words of our annual way. The way draws us deeper, and today is deeper. The recognition is that no one knows where the deepest is, where the deep ends. And thus, deeper is an evolutionary expansion, drawing us ever more deeper. And we don't always know when we've reached the end. And perhaps there isn't an end. Perhaps we keep going and growing in new and unexpected ways. I'd like to open up the floor in just a moment to hear what it means to you to grow deeper. What does deeper mean to you? I would love to hear several shares so that we can get a tune in with where we're at in the room. What does deeper mean to you? I'd be very curious to hear some of your insights, and then we'll go from there. So who would like to share your wisdom with the community? What does deeper mean for you? You didn't know you'd be giving the message today, did you? Catherine, and then, is that Pam? Okay, Catherine and then Pam.
I think of deeper as more vast, wider, and versus divergent. I feel the deepness is divergence. And to me, that's not identification. When I go convergent, I'm in internal considering. So when I hear deeper, I think more God, less me.
Exactly. Thank you. Those are some cool words you just put on that. Pam?
I'll quote one of our beloved community members, "The way up is down." When I ground myself and my body, I'm opened energetically to something higher.
Thank you. Indeed. Marianne, right up front.
Many years ago, I used to work for a consulting firm, and the founder of the firm said there are many firms that are a mile wide and an inch deep, but we want to be an inch wide and a mile deep. And so when I hear deeper, I always think of that, the one thing. The one thing will present itself in a limitless way forever.
Mm-hmm. It's a lovely image. Thank you very much. Yes, Sherry.
When I think of deeper, as I've contemplated this year's aim, it's the cross. So the cross is, and the deeper is on the vertical side. And the way for me to go deeper is to get rid of the horizontal self part.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's a beautiful image to remind us all. Anyone else wish to share? Anita, and then we need a man to share.
Today I think of deeper as a diver, closer to the reef, you know, the beauty of the reef, the colors, the beauty of it.
Thank you. The color you wouldn't see if you didn't go down deeper. Peter.
Deeper for me was the movement from belief to experience. I tried to believe for most of my life and wasn't a real good human being. When I began to try to experience, I'm beginning to become a much better human being.
Mm. And I like the word more complete human being through our practice. So, yes, in the back, is that Tom?
I'm always glad when I wait for other people to speak before I say anything, because they're always so beautiful. And to echo some of the stuff here that just resonates with me, to me the key to going deeper is simplicity, to sort of shed all of the distractions, and really gratitude, simple things like gratitude, which I think is the key to faith, and kindness. And compassion, kindness for myself and compassion for others. If I can do those things, keep it simple, and keep my practice, and I feel like that's the key for me.
Thank you, Tom. Anyone else? David in the back.
The concept of deeper for me, I always visualize a dragonfly just bouncing on top of the water. And I recognize for me in relationships in my life, it's always been staying on the surface. It's easy. And I realize that depth requires effort. And my experience has always been as I've gone deeper, it's where true love is.
Mm. Thank you. Depth does require effort, a practice to support it. But then there are those experiences where, to use a swimming analogy, we get snagged on something or by something and it pulls us down without any effort or intention and takes us down. And those tend to be those moments of transformation. Anyone else wish to share? Carly.
For me, going deeper is moving from my head to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if I look at myself and my experience through the lens of my mind and what it will tell me, there's a deeper, much more merciful narrative that lives within my heart. So for me, going deeper is going underneath the surface levels of shame and guilt and frustration, all the stories of separation. And deeper is going to listen to what does my heart say when it sees me.
Mm.
Show me what you see when you look at me. That is the deeper, much more merciful and more true story. And I ask that that story may be shown. That's my prayer over and over. Show me how you see me.
Thank you. Was there another one over here? Yes.
To me, going deeper means multiplicity of everything that you do.
Thank you, Fred. Anyone else? Yes, Lisa.
I'm going to go out on a limb here this morning and say my truth, which is deeper today, being involved in this community and centering prayer, is willingness to go beyond a lifelong depression that comes as what I'm learning to be as weather. It comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
And deeper is being willing to do the centering prayer every day, no matter what, and experiencing that black depth, knowing and self-remembering that it's not who I really am, is, it's a miracle to me that I can continue, because this church gives me faith that it's not me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's a really important distinction. We all walked in here with a lot of who-ness. You know, if you ask someone, tell me about yourself, who are you? We all have a lot of who-ness in our story, our titles, our roles, our background, the team we love, a lot of different things have our identity as who we are. But a more deeper question is, what are you? What am I? And we'll talk about that in a moment, but that shift from who to what is a deepening. And it's rare to find a community that allows us to make that shift and not focus so much on the who-ness and go to the what-ness. Is there a hand here? Yes, a young one. Give us your wisdom, dear child.
When I think of deep, I think of you can't go too deep, or you can't find your way back. You can go a certain amount of deep, but you can't go too deep. Or
yes, that is so true. And Bernadette Roberts is one of our teachers, and she went too deep. But apparently, she's just okay. I think we'll conclude with that. Thank you, dear one. So there's this adjective, this adverb, deeply, deeper, deep, is so rich and means so much to us. And thank you, everyone, for sharing. The group wisdom is significant. But it is a profound word. The writings of Ken Wilber, who is an American philosopher and Buddhist teacher, and many of us are familiar with Ken Wilber. If you aren't familiar with Ken Wilber from reading him, you have been exposed to him through the thousands of other authors who steal from him all the time and don't give him credit. Now, the truth is that Wilber stole from a lot of people too, but we're all just beggars sharing where we got bread from. But Ken Wilber has been on a 40 or 50 year journey of exploring what depth is. And he has given us a teaching that's very significant that helps us understand the neurology, the psychology, the spirituality, the embodiment of physicality, all together in what he calls integral system. Now, the thing to know about this system is that it's very akin to many of the other developmental psychologists that anyone in Psych 101 class has been exposed to in the last 50 years, like Eric Erickson or Piaget or others, that there's a recognition that there are stages of development along the way. And Ken Wilber then talked about this in Western terms, borrowed in large extent from an Indian philosopher by the name of Aurobindo. And he talks about the levels of consciousness. And levels of consciousness shows up all over in the last 50, 60 years at the renaissance of spirituality. One of the authors and teachers in our community over the last 20 or 30 years that has been such a blessing to us is David Hawkins. And David Hawkins has a similar but different and unique scale of consciousness that resonates and is in harmony with Ken Wilber's levels of consciousness, but they're just different maps charting the same territory, using different terms to talk about the same continent, so to speak, that they're sailing by. Whatever theorists you use, the wisdom that they have given to us as a species is new wisdom, especially for the West. That there are ages and stages and levels of human development. And there's a commonality universally around every culture, every tribe, every religion. These very similar patterns of conscious development happen. So we tend to think of the levels of consciousness as ascending higher, and the higher you go, the better you are, the more spiritually advanced you are. But again, that's very hierarchical, and in the past that worked, but now we do know the quantum insight that up is down and down is up and all around. So it isn't so much that the levels are going up, and it isn't so much that the levels are going deeper. The most important thing to recognize is that it's more like a spiral, and we may not always be at the same level of consciousness all the time. We might step into one level of consciousness and still have another foot in an older, lower level of consciousness, so to speak. So I find the idea of the bass clef and the treble clef and the notes on those staffs as a really good indicator that you can have one note down here at one level of consciousness and another note up here at a whole other level of consciousness. And this gets to many of our lived experiences with multiplicity, that we're not always the same person. Which explains why a person can get into an argument, a heated argument, and yell, and then an hour later do a 20-minute centering prayer sit, for example, and calm down, and not yell, and feel remorse, and feel shame, and feel love instead of that hatred. Why? Because a level shift has happened. A level shift of consciousness has happened. But not only a consciousness, a physiological shift has happened in our brains. We have shifted from the reptilian brainstem up to the prefrontal cortex or other areas that are more high-functioning and more recent in our evolutionary journey. And the methods that support deepening or centering or experiencing peace or experiencing love or experiencing harmony, the methods are all in service to this experience that we call depth. And each of us are being drawn deeper and deeper and deeper. And so the practices support that journey. The other thing that Ken Wilber teaches is, and this is very useful, and it's really in his recent work, the last 20 years, where he added something to the levels of consciousness. He added lines. Now, what did he mean by lines? There are lines within the levels, and that looks like crosses. So here's the level going up, and there's a line in each of these levels. And the line starts here and goes all the way through the complete levels. 7 or 8 levels he's got in his system. This is very interesting because it explains some great conundrums that are very useful to understand. That how can you have a religious mystic in a particular, say, Islamic or Jewish tradition or Christian, how can you have a Jewish mystic who's experiencing mystical states but be at a level of consciousness that is tribal and hateful toward other tribes that aren't like them? How can you have a mystic at a low level of consciousness of tribalism? And these lines and levels explains that, because there are levels, yes, and there are lines within those levels. So the spiritual line within the level of consciousness can be very regressed, like fundamentalism, and the kind of religion that is used to kill 100 million people, the kind of religion that is used to keep people in fear and shame and guilt. That line of spirituality can be at a very low level, or it could be at a higher, deeper level. There is a line for love. There is a line for wisdom or knowledge. There is a line for your body. There are all sorts of these lines that track up and down in the levels of consciousness. So it's not as simple as saying we need to go to a deeper level of consciousness. It's much more interesting than that. Because within every level there are multiplicity of lines that express the full spectrum of being human, from intellectual, emotional, to physical. And so each of us are continuously being fine-tuned like an equalizer through our consent to the spiritual practices. And it turns out that something like the method of centering prayer or other methods that lead one to meditation or states of contemplation are, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but oftentimes speed up our process of moving up or down in the level of consciousness in one particular line. And this explains why some phenomena, you might go on a centering prayer retreat, and that particular retreat for that particular year, what seems to be evolving and being worked in you is at an emotional level. Perhaps you're forgiving something that has been done to you, and that deep emotional forgiveness is like a knot, a tight knot being unloosened. And so there's a lot of emotions. There's a lot of tears. There's sensations in the body. A year later, you're at that same retreat, doing the same spiritual practice, the same meditation for the same amount of hours, and there's zero emotion, zero tears, zero affect, zero sensation. And you think, maybe I should have just stayed home. But maybe the Spirit is working on your intellectual line, letting go of certainty and moving deeper into the unknown and the darkness of unseeing and of unknowing. So these levels and lines thing explain a lot, and that's why the cross is such a profound image for his integral system. And I really encourage you to have a look at his integral system. He calls it all quadrants, all levels, ACAL. It's one among many of the systems that are out there to help us map out the possibility of our development. So when the work in 1912 or 11, when Gurdjieff starts bringing out his teaching that he had collected, when Uspensky starts writing it down and publishing these books in the 50s, and the work is prior to a lot of these insights, neurologically, cosmologically, psychologically, all of a sudden we can begin to see that the work's aphorism that we are here created as self-developing organisms becomes so much more nuanced and precise in the language of Wilbur that we are here to develop in all quadrants and all levels and all lines. That's what it means to be a self-developing organism. Now, the Christian term for this, as well as the Jewish term and the Muslim term and the Hindu term, is along the lines of this word, becoming a saint. Because a saint is someone who may not have all fully developed in every single line, but certainly some of the level development has occurred. Saints weren't perfect because maybe one line was less developed in them than another. It's a very useful, simple way of thinking about what it means to grow deeper, to be willing to be drawn deeper, to become more complete as a being, and to work on a particular area or a particular line of development that is needed and necessary. Life, as our teacher, has such a way of humbling us and showing us ourselves and the lines that are most weak and need development. Life and all our relationships become a huge mirror for us, not to shame us, but to show us where our line and level of development is most needed. And perhaps our most intense pain in life and suffering in life is the wonderful red light blinking saying, pay attention over here. This is the line and the level that needs attention. Now, I'll conclude by drawing us back to the scripture passage that Valerie read for us. We've been using the book of Colossians throughout this whole series unpacking the way draws us deeper. I don't know if you noticed that. But Colossians chapter 3, which has been the passage we've used for the last 3 weeks, including today's, is the one-a-day vitamin of the Bible. It's one of those passages that is so applicable to day-to-day life, and I'm going to draw a few insights about it for us. First of all, it says, you are chosen ones, holy and beloved. So we each walk in here with a lot of who-ness. And our who-ness has a lot of story to it. Some of it is sad story. Some of it's painful story. Some of it's story of lack, story of suffering. And that's who you are at this moment. That's who I am at this moment. Our who-ness, though, is not our what-ness. And the reminder of our what-ness comes through these words. You are a chosen one. You are a holy one. You are a beloved one. That's what you are. That's what I am. And it's a powerful reminder to move deeper from our who-ness, our personality level, to our what-ness. Bernadette Roberts has a profound way of articulating this on the spiritual journey. And for those of us who are deeper on the way, who are looking for mystic food, Bernadette Roberts' book, The Contemplative Christian Journey, Essays on the Path, is a great feast. But for us who are on the beginning side of things, just remember what you are. You are chosen, which means anointed, called. You are given the opportunity to grow and develop. You are holy, which means you are whole, complete, but in process. And you are beloved, which means there's nothing you can do or not do that will separate you from the love of God in Christ. Those are basics, ABCs. The truth of shifting from our who-ness and all the shame and all the joy and all the goodness that we bring with our story deeper into the what-ness. But for the mystics in the room who wish to grow deeper, Bernadette Roberts gives us an example. And she talks about it in terms of the purpose of our human development is to lead us into the unitive state. And the unitive state is as deep as we can go as far as the human journey goes. It's that fully developed human that she calls the unitive state, what other traditions call the realized condition. But she calls it the unitive state. Many of us have unitive experiences. Unitive experiences are little breadcrumbs along our journeys that remind us, yes, this is what we are, this is what we're after. But the unitive state is a permanent condition. And no one can tell you if you're in the unitive state. That's between you and God. But here's the teaching that Bernadette gives us as a way for us to say, this is an aim for us. This is, if we're looking for a target, a destination to move deeper toward, this would be it, the unitive state. And this is how she describes it, and it's not the end. She says this from page 53. We have been led to believe that arriving at the unitive state is as far as one can go in this life. While it is true that the inward journey is finished in the unitive state, there's no going deeper than the deepest, capital D. There's no going deeper than the deepest center of our being, namely God. Yet, from this point on, if you're wondering what to do, from this point on, we are either at a standstill on the journey, because we've gone to the deepest unitive state, or the journey must turn around and then go outward to the world. Since there is nothing wanting or lacking to the unitive state, nothing can either be added to it or subtracted from it. What more in this world is there to attain when you attain God? We have it all, capital A. But if we cannot have more or less of God in the unitive state, we can nevertheless have more or less of self. And that is what lies beyond this turning point of moving from the unitive state, journeying toward the unitive state through our practices, through our surrender, and then turning outward to the world to serve it with courage, fearlessness, and love. So deeper is different for each of us, because we're all at different places on the journey. We're all at different stages. We're all at different ages. We're all at different levels. We're all at different lines. There's a lot of crossover. And deeper is different for each of us. So this community of practice is a container that can hold all of us, even though all of us are at different places at any given moment. The practices hold us as we grow. And the beautiful phrase, you know, keep your practice, and your practice will keep you. So thank you, everyone, for sharing about your ideas of the deeper. I look forward to sharing at the end of the year and hearing at the end of the year our experience of our wish of going deeper and what deeper means to you then. So let's just close by holding a wish and imagine with the mind's eye the last weeks of December 2020. We have no idea what is unfolding this year in our country, in our world. We have no idea what's happening in our lives the next moment. But 11 months from now, send a memory to yourself. How do you wish to grow deeper? And if you don't know how, then ask that you might know how, and know that then. May all of our journeys being drawn deeper bear good fruit in each of our lives and lots of joy. There's nothing worse than equating depth with seriousness. And page 10 of the work, keep it light, keep it joyful. Sometimes inner work is difficult and painful, but the joy comes in the morning. So let's work. Let's make haste slowly to grow deeper together. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
voice to you. I turn within anew. I feel your spirit move in me and know that I am loved. And I feel your grace in this place. I am loved. And I feel your grace in this place. I am loved. I lift my voice to you. I turn within anew. I feel your spirit move in me.
We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands, and those that have been offered electronically. And we remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. We give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember this truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. It is unfortunate that we need money for anything on this planet, but it is the way it is. And from my heart to yours, on behalf of this community, I thank you for the way you support what you love. And what feeds you, you feed. What a gift we share together. We dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on this planet over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen.
The light from a distant star, my hungry beating heart, a wish for a brand new star is drawing me over, drawing me through, drawing me deeper to something new, drawing me away from where I've been, drawing me in, drawing me in. The gentle
drawing me over, drawing me through, drawing me deeper to something new, drawing me away from where I've been, drawing me in, drawing me
Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
I wish to dedicate the love that will be created through this meal of Eucharist to the life of Karen Ragland's sister, who made her transition this past week. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. Was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Spirit, prepare a table for me with sacred bread and wine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, offering the sacred bread and wine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, offering the divine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, sacred bread and wine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, offering the divine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, sacred bread and wine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, offering the divine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, sacred bread and wine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, offering the divine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, sacred bread and wine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, offering the divine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, sacred bread and wine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, offering love divine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, sacred bread and wine. Spirit, prepare a table for me. Amen.
living and eternal Christ, we fear your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ, for the glory of God our Creator, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with song. The love of God in my heart bows to the love of God in yours. I thank you for your presence here today. The peace of Christ is with us until we meet again.